None of you are going to like this. We have an impromptu live chat going on. I just got done doing a recording of a proofread aloud, and I was trying to slip out the door, and then people were flinging me questions to get me to stick around. And if I don't stick around and have this conversation, I have to go back into the debate about whether short resting is resting. I saw your question. I don't know that I want to address that either, Wilkalak, right now. But Aaron Dudley, who previously made me do one of these, I think about complication tables, has flung another question my way, and I'm going to try and answer it, but it's going to be a really shitty answer that nobody is going to like, least of all Aaron Dudley. Okay. My next campaign is going to be taking place in a massive desert. Angry ideas for making navigating a desert interesting. I have an idea to have like hidden star charts for finding lost sites. Dot, dot, dot. How do you get past those damn black barriers? Okay. First, let's tackle the second part of that question, the damn black barriers. Okay. The black barriers can only be bypassed with a certain item at the very end of that you find very near the end of the game. Like all items and obstacles in a Metroidvania game, what you have to do is explore the game until you find the item, and the item will, when you discover it, you will actually be forced to use the item to leave the area where you find the item, which will show you what the item does, so that then you will recontextualize the world and say, well, hello, those black barriers, I can now get past them. And then you can go back and wander and go through them. Hollow Knight is excellent about that. Hollow Knight is very good about making sure that you have to see what the ability does immediately after getting it to leave the room or move on or make any sort of progress at all, so you always know where and when to use it next. It's one of the things that makes Hollow Knight such a wonderful Metroidvania game, as opposed to Silksong, which is a Dark Souls game that sat next to a Metroidvania and got farted on by it one time. Anyway, so that addresses the second part of the question. Now to the first part of the question. And I responded before I decided that I wanted to record this, that there is no question I hate more than the question of how do I make random gameplay idea interesting? Okay, especially in this case, because let's be honest here. There's a reason why you're asking that question. And the reason why you're asking that question is this. You are basically looking at a massive pile of indistinguishable sand. And somewhere out in that sand is a thing you want the players to find. And so now you are trying to figure out what interesting decisions and strategies and gameplay things. Well, let's not start. See, this is my problem. I started a list, and the rule of lists is that there's always three elements on the list. Okay. And that was wrong in this case. There's only two elements on this list that matter. What interesting choices and gameplay strategies. Oh no, shit. Okay. I got to go back now. Decisions and strategies. What decisions and strategies can the players make in the process of finding that thing, right? And you're looking at that and you're saying, there's nothing. What is there? There's just like, I mean, obviously there's the logistical fun of plotting a expedition across the desert and deciding how many barrels of water to load on your camel caravan or your sand barge or whatever the hell, which is always a delight. The logistical challenge of guess how much shit you need, and if you get it wrong, you just die in the wilderness. That's always a fun challenge, which again is simply based on just getting a right mathematical answer and then, you know, balancing the numbers. Okay. But beyond that, you're now looking at the situation. It's like, well, what is there that is actually interesting about doing this? And the problem is that in the medium of tabletop role-playing gaming, there's nothing inherently interesting about that. Okay. The sort of things that, like, in general would make that sort of thing interesting. Like, okay, in real life, if you were doing that, right? And you have something, you have like, oh, you know, you have the medallion and it has the star chart on it. And you're like reading the stars and doing the thing and, you know, all of that stuff. Like, that's interesting to you as the person who is trying to execute the navigation challenge. But players at a tabletop role-playing game are not doing that. Navigation challenges, any skill-based challenge, any execution challenge, ultimately comes down to roll a die to see if the character can do it. And that's sort of the problem, right? That's why this is such a difficult challenge. And it's, in fact, this is very similar to a question I get a lot, and that is, I want to make a maze interesting. Like, the players are in a labyrinth and they have to find their way out of the labyrinth, and there's maybe a minotaur or something. There's a maze monster, right? How do I make that interesting, Angry? Dude, you ever try to solve a maze? It's not that interesting. Mazes aren't interesting. It's just making, like, You're either wandering around at random, just do, eventually I'll find the exit, or you're doing one of the standard maze-solving tricks. Like, I'm always going to touch the right-hand wall, and then eventually I will find the maze, unless there's closed loops in the middle of the maze, in which case I'm screwed and eaten by the maze monster. Uh-oh. Right? That's the problem. There's nothing mean, like, you come to an intersection in the maze, left, right, straight. That's it. That's 6 hours of gameplay. Left, right, straight. Left, right, straight, left, right, straight, left, right, straight, left, right, straight. How's your map? Did you draw a map? There's no way. Then you can start abstracting it with mechanics. Oh, let's make die rolls where the players can, they can choose to have either a goal-oriented focus or an exploration focus. And then they roll their intelligence check. And if it's exploration focused, then they're wandering, so they're more likely to have random encounters. And if it's goal focused, well, they're less likely to succeed, but they're also not going to have more encounters. And then you start abstracting the shit out of it with dice games, right? And that's not interesting either. And it has nothing to do with being in a maze, because being in a maze is not that interesting, even if there's something hunting you in the maze. You know? Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. In theory, could someone find a way and a unique set of things that would make solving a maze interesting at a tabletop? Yeah, probably. But here's the thing. And this is the thing that we often forget about tabletop role-playing gaming. This is one of the biggest limitations of the medium. Okay, we have a wonderful medium that is open-ended and creative, and anybody can do anything, and we can run any kind of game we want, and we can do all of this shit. But in the end, as I just wrote about, it's all just words and choices. Words and choices. Those are the only things you can build gameplay out of. Words and choices. Maybe deduction. But deduction is just words and choices. So it's all just words and choices, words and choices, words and choices. You have to find things that you can make interesting with words and choices. The decisions about wandering through a maze are inherently not interesting choices, because you're either just always making the same choice, always go right, or you are making random choices. Those are the best ways to solve a maze, either random or always go right. It's the same with the desert. And now I know I'm going to bash a little bit on the hex crawl people, but you could give your players a blank hex map, and some kind of coordinate system or something like that. I don't know, or some kind of like beacon system or whatever. And then, you know, let them just start drawing maps. And it's like, oh, in this 3 miles hex, you got more desert. And then on the way, you know, oh no, now today is sandstorm day. And which means you're just screwed and you just like sit, right? Oh, just sit. It's sandstorm day. And now today is blue dragon day. You know, whatever it is. Now fight the blue dragon, which is just basically the players are having random encounters while they are just wandering in circles around nothing. You know, like you think about how video games do this. And like, I'll give you an example. Final Fantasy VII. Is that the one with Icicle Inn and the North Crater? I'm going to assume it is. So there's you have the snowboarding thing. You go snowboarding because it's fantasy adventure role-playing game. So naturally, you go snowboarding. And then you end up in Great Glacier. And then in the midst of Great Glacier is this featureless expanse of tundra. And there is winds that blow occasionally. And there is a directional screw where it's changing your controls so that, you know, pushing forward is going in different directions. And, or the screen is rotating or something. But you have the ability to set flags behind you. And by stringing the flags together, you can use them to point you in a specific direction. This is almost interesting. It doesn't last very long, which is good, but there's also, so there's actually a couple of things it does to kind of be interesting, but a lot of it is just based on the visuals. It's the fact that you can see the world unfolding before you and you can plant these flags and they are persistent on the screen and trail away behind you. And you can see how your controls are moving and then adjust accordingly. Oh, my controls are drifting to the right. So in order to keep going north, I have to go left and stuff like that. Now you can do that interesting. You know, what's interesting about exploring the desert, the Gerudo Desert in Breath of the Wild is your ability to see things in the distance and say, what, pray tell, is that thing? I shall move toward it. It seems like it would be an interesting thing. I see there is a rock or another different kind of rock. Plus, in Breath of the Wild, you also have the magical GPS map where you can look at your map once you've unlock the tower for the area. You can look at your map and you can see, oh, there's a strange formation here and I can move toward it and you can move perfectly except for places on the map. I think there's sandstorm places where your map is hidden from you. But that's leaning again a lot on the visuals and the fantastic parts of the world. Could you do something like that? Could you give the players a magic map that gave them coordinates? The original Dragon Warrior, right? This shit's not bad. I'm spitballing stuff you could try. That's not the worst thing in the world that I'm doing right now, isn't it? It's okay. Anyway, somebody in the chat reassure me that I'm actually being useful. Otherwise, I'm just going to scrap this recording. No, but seriously. So the original Dragon Warrior, there was a hidden item at a specific location on the world map. And at one point, the princess gives you a magical amulet of longitude and latitude, where if you like use it, it tells you your coordinates in the game. And then, you know, like you can use that to kind of zero in on where this magical item is, assuming that you also got the clue. So, yeah, you could do something like that. What I might do Okay. Okay, if you want to do it puzzling, which still isn't the best because what it comes down to is making the player solve a puzzle and then, okay, my printer's cleaning itself. That's helpful. Making the player solve a puzzle and then, really? You done? Cool. Okay. You want to do like at least interesting where it's like solving a puzzle or whatever. The actual travel shit's going to be dull. And really, you don't want them wandering the desert anyway. Right? So here is what I would do. I would make it an interesting desert. That's the first thing. And by that, I mean, you look at like the Breath of the Wild map of the Gerudo Desert. And What do you call those maps? It's a relief map, right? So it shows the contour lines and stuff. But by looking at the contour lines and by looking at the things on it, you can see there's all sorts of stuff out there. There's strange formations. There's obviously old ruins and whatever. So there's a bunch of different things out there. And here is the problem. It's not that the desert hasn't been mapped. The map isn't precise. It's not a magical GPS map. You know, there's still going to be the challenge of getting lost, except you're always lost. So there's always going to be the challenge of like navigating and it going bad, especially if you get turned around in a storm or whatever. But if there are already, say, several specific destinations out in the map, in the world that the players already know about in the desert, and the one specific one is the one that has the thing they need, but there's no way to tell which of those locations it is unless they gather clues and deduce, okay, it must be somewhere in the north, so that only tells us these things because some guy in his journal, he wrote about, you know, following the North Star whatever, right? So, okay, obviously the location was in the north and that's the only clue he had. And then some other, and so you build this little process of elimination thing where the players can get it down to like, if they're really good, they can get it down to two or three different possibilities, okay? If they're super geniuses, they can get it down to two possibilities. Make it impossible to get it down to one possibility. If they're crappy, they can eliminate some of the possibilities. And then the challenge is about going out to each of these locales, like mounting expedition after expedition after expedition, or plotting a route that can be navigated based on the tools they have available to check the locations that they have managed to eliminate. You're still kind of stuck with the travel part is just going to be walking and trying not to get lost, and maybe it's sandstorm day, and maybe it's blue dragon day. But there is still something in there that the players can solve, and that the players can kind of eliminate some of the possibilities. And then the rest becomes an efficiency challenge. Like if you eliminate this many possibilities so that you only have three locations, do you mount three separate expeditions or just mount one to go to all three? And how do you do that? And how do you navigate it? And do you have enough not to get lost? And I would advise strongly, unless they're very, very high level, and I know people are gonna shit on me for saying this, but give them some means to get back if they get in trouble. You know, like, because here's the other thing. Running out of supplies in the desert isn't really a fun gameplay challenge. And I say this as someone who did it. I had a campaign that ended with the players so badly lost in a desert, in one of the lower plains, that their supplies ran out and there was no way for them to get back to anywhere. They had no means to navigate. They had no way to get back. It was just and then they were going to die. There was just going to be bleached skeletons out in the deserts of Carceri for some other hapless party to find. That was how the campaign ended. It was a very, very bad way to do it, because as interesting as running out of supplies sounds, when you're faced with the cold, cruel reality of what it means for how your campaign ends, it's just kind of shit. It's just, oh, you got lost for seven too many, because it can happen where they just, it's too many days, right? And there are limits to how much you can carry. Because here's the real problem. You know what? Most expeditions of people wandering out into the desert, they don't ever come back. There's a very high probability that you just run out of supplies, get lost, and die. So that's something to be aware of, too, is like, what is the fail state here? Is the fail state, well, you ran out of food and water. So you and the sesame seeds are the only things out there now, just your bones and the sesame seeds, right? So I don't know. It's the problem is, to get back to my original point, which has nothing to do with Aaron Dudley's original point. I assume at this point, Aaron Dudley has just like fucked off right out. He's like, yeah, Angry's giving me nothing here. This is worthless. I don't blame him, because this was worthless. Okay. But this is the problem. The moment you find yourself saying, I have this thing that would be really interesting if it was in a movie or a book or a video game or a TV show, and I can't figure out how to make it an interesting game, there's at least a 50% chance that what you have run into is actually a limit of the medium. And I don't like to say that, because, and people who have hung out with me a long time, they know I very rarely say something can't be done. In fact, usually while people are arguing, like someone will say, hey, I want to do this. And then there'll be other people who say like, well, you shouldn't do that. You know, why would you want to do that? What are your goals? It's like, I'm the one who comes in and says, okay, fine, let's do it. Let's find a way. I don't care what it is. I don't care why. I don't care if it seems impossible. We'll find a way. But this is one of those places where you kind of hit an insurmountable obstacle. It is that if you cannot find ways to make it fun to do with words and decisions and deductions and brains, it's not going to be interesting gameplay. That said, as I have just demonstrated, because I think I did come up with an answer, there is always a way. Life does find a way. But it is not navigating the desert anymore. That's not the challenge. Instead, you change it to a challenge that you can make interesting. There's 10 different sites in the desert. Phase one, narrow it down to the smallest number you can based on some vague clues that let you eliminate some possibilities. Phase two, plot an expedition. Phase three, transitional liminal wilderness crap. Just try to get through it, and at least it will end at various interesting places. And that sounds like you would be bogged down by that for a long time, though, too. So probably it would be hard to make all of that work. But something like that would play nice with the idea of doing star charts and stuff, you know. Anyway, that is all. That is what I have. I don't know if this was actually useful to anyone or if it is, but if you enjoy this sort of thing, I guess listen to it when I do it. I almost went into like a YouTube transition. Like if you like more of this crap, go ahead and smash that like and subscribe button. I am on Patreon and Subscribestar. You know, I'm still sitting on that one book that I published 6 years ago that is still my one achievement that I'm bragging about. So go and check that out. Also, I wrote a module for it 4 years ago. That still exists. Otherwise, I write 5,000 words a week of blog overanalyzing this shit. That also exists. So thanks. Stop by. Also watch my shorts, and I'm on the TikToks.